B-Pod Studios.
Phone lines are always open for you.
Answer the phone!
Give us, if you want to call up out of the blue.
Answer the phone!
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jules is on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your
TJ from Parker's Pub said he'll be here by 12:30 if we need wings. I said we're good. Thank you. See you next week. Thanks, TJ.
These were good wings.
Great wings, though.
That's why the guy took them. Unbelievable.
It's one of the few foods I enjoy maybe even more cold, and that is fried chicken. Like a cold fried chicken, like drumstick, and I hardly ever have it.
I tell you what.
You know where I got it from, Zoe? On Golden Pond. She brings the picnic basket.
Oh my God!
Out to Norman and Billy, and they're out there. They're out there
for you to eat your lunch.
They're out there shipping for or fishing for Walter out in Purgatory Cove. They have cold fried chicken. Oh, it's good.
If you have the right breading, it is.
Yep.
You could take KFC drumsticks. You could take Popeyes. Put them in your fridge. You can eat them cold.
Oh, absolutely.
In a second. No, churches.
Tyler cosigns.
Shocking.
I do.
When's the last time you ate something healthy, Tyler?
What is that supposed to mean?
No, I'm just asking.
Yeah, what is that? That's a loaded question.
I just said, when's the last time? Like, the last healthy thing I ate was kale. What's the last healthy thing you ate? Maybe it's fish.
Or I had some carrots yesterday.
Carrots.
Carrots.
Stupid. Hey, bunny rabbit.
Carrots.
Real healthy.
Good for your eyes.
Mm, are they?
That's what they say.
Just like spinach makes you strong like Popeye.
Not a big spinach guy.
Yeah. All right, it's
what
finished.
What else does everyone like?
Name foods. It's Finish Strong Friday, presented by 128 Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric, celebrating 29 years of finishing every job strong. They want to thank their amazing employees and customers for their loyalty and service. Finish your next job strong. Visit call128.com. When's the steak going to be done, so?
It's almost done.
He's cooking it slow and low in the toaster oven.
Nice and long. Going to get heated up throughout.
617-779-0985
By the way, Beetle, just very quickly, you see your boy Otani had some issues yesterday?
I did see that. The whole team did, correct?
No, because there are multiple buses, but I only think one of the buses got messed up by this, or not all of the buses did.
Yeah, I'll read from the AP story. A traffic jam kept Angels right-hander Shohei Otani from making it to the ballpark in time for his regular pregame pitching routine, and then he was scratched.
It's like you for the show today, almost.
I was here on time.
I said almost.
There was an accident on the Bay Bridge.
10:02.
That snarled traffic for one of the Angels team buses, making a 45-minute trip increasingly longer. Otani returned to the hotel and wound up on the Bay Area Rapid Transit, they call it BART, and fell further behind schedule. So they went back, they turned around, they got on public transportation, and then were trying to take the train to the ballpark. Can you imagine seeing the Angels team on the train? Like, hey, there are the Angels.
Well, but then the transit authority there in the Bay Area, they took exception to that when they, like, somehow in the story it got out there that the train was delayed. So yes. Bart went on Twitter and said, first of all, huge honor to have Shohei Ohtani and some big athletes on the train, but no train delays at that time. So, you know, maybe next time just plan ahead a little bit better. Use the app.
Yeah, the Angels beat reporter Rhett Ballinger tweeted out, there was an accident on the Bay Bridge, so the Angels team bus couldn't make it to Oakland. They had to take Bart, and there was an issue there, too.
Oh.
And so that's what they responded to by saying, we did not experience any issues on our end. We confirmed with operations control there were no delays for any Coliseum heading train during the Bay Bridge incident. Mm. However, riders then responded with tweets, Hardy, saying, your passenger limits, I guess they have COVID passenger limits still in place, or why they couldn't get on. So, yeah, maybe you didn't have any delays on the tracks, but you have a certain number of people that can get on the trains.
What does it say about Shohei Ohtani, though, that he couldn't get to the park by 4 p.m.? He got there at 5 p.m. instead and couldn't make his start because he's got this routine that he has to do.
Maybe he drove the train. He does everything.
And I know I know there's a lot of ballplayers who operate the same way.
Yeah.
But once again, the coddling of pitchers, even a great, you know, pitcher hitter like Shohei Ohtani, and you think that maybe this guy's different. Oh, no. Oh, no. I have to be there at 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I have to do this, and then I do this, and then I do that, and then I do that. 5 o'clock? Scratch. Don't worry about it, kid.
He's so special, though. You don't want to screw around with him.
He's had injury problems, too.
Doesn't it seem a little silly, though?
It's all soft. That's sports these days, though, right?
I don't know. There's just, and I know it's catching is a lot different than pitching, but you know, this is hardly Doug Mirabelli, you know, running into the ballpark as the last strains of the national anthem are playing and then squatting down behind home plate for the first pitch from Wakefield. This is the exact opposite of that. Oh, I can only be there 2.5 hours early. Not good enough. Not pitching.
I can't believe you're going to disparage Babe Ruth in this way, in this fashion. That you're not going to let him go through his full pregame routine.
Yeah,
as is necessary.
Tiny bit soft. Just a tiny bit
as
soft.
As is necessary to go out and perform at the highest levels. And I think it's the right move. I think they protected their player. I think they did the right thing.
I don't know if
Pedro,
you'd be saying that if you showed up at the park last night expecting to see him pitch.
That's true. Matt, remember when Pedro showed up late and they scratched him from his start?
I don't remember that. Did he flip a nutty? Or
he lost his mind.
That's awesome.
Jimmy Williams back in 99.
Oh, pigs could fly, right? What was the saying Jimmy Williams
said? He had a million of them.
How late was he?
I'm reading back of the story. I just pulled up because I knew someone was going to say, well, what time did he show up? I don't know. I don't know what time exactly he showed up.
Why didn't the Angels get a police escort?
I think the bridge was blocked by the accident.
Completely?
They could have gotten out and climbed the span.
Well, there could be different rules. I don't know that major league teams do that as often as you see in the NFL.
Yeah, because we go to Tennessee, we were losing our minds because we hit traffic on the way to the Titans game.
Yeah.
When it was down, I remember when it was like Patriots take, it was packed downtown. We had a police escort, but he was not allowed to escort technically. He couldn't turn on the lights. Like, we're losing it. Our security guys are like, what are you doing? Turning like, we don't do that here. That's not the rule. You can't do it.
For example, when they're in Boston, they don't have escorts.
They'll shut the road down for you.
They don't have escorts from their hotels over to the park.
Beetle in 99, Pedro Martinez walked to the bullpen 25 minutes before his scheduled start. There was one problem. Bryce Flory was already warming up. Normally pitchers, this is a quote now from Jimmy Williams.
Okay.
Normally pitchers get out to warm up a half hour, 25 minutes before. I didn't know where Martinez was. He was late. I had to make a decision to start another pitcher.
So he showed up a half hour before the game?
He showed up at the bullpen. He walked to the bullpen 25 minutes before his start.
So he was already dressed. He had already been to the ballpark. He had been in the clubhouse before that, right?
Yeah.
He had to have been. So let's say it was 45 minutes before the game. That's what you're describing yesterday with Ohtani, basically. So it just proves Pedro certainly wasn't soft. He was ready to go.
Martinez says, his quote is, I was late. I messed up. I should have called. I apologized to Jimmy and my teammates.
I want to say there was great video of him. Maz will remember this because this is right in his wheelhouse. If he hasn't texted already. There was great
He's
video
golf.
Taken from above the player's lot of Pedro leaving all pissed off. Leaving the ballpark, not making his start. Yeah. He's not soft. Shohei Ohtani. Great, great player. 617-779-0985.
What? Yes, his post-game reaction said otherwise. There was no reason to do this. It was between the manager and me and should have been kept inside. Yeah, he was pissed.
Yeah, he was not happy. Chris in North Smithfield. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey, I just wanted to chime in real quick. First of all, Doug Mirabelli's only skill was catching a knuckleball. So, I mean, yeah, I hear what you're saying. You know, 2.5 hours, can you really, you know, can't you get it in? But, you know, Shohei Ohtani is very, very special. And number two, why didn't they just call Bobby Valentine to pick him up from the airport, from the hotel? All right, guys, I'll see you later. Bye.
I don't get the joke.
I don't know.
I don't get the joke. It had a bit. Is that because, remember you said I picked up my son at the airport?
Yeah.
Was that the Bobby V thing? Okay.
Stupid.
All right. Calls on everything, and we'll get back to the Patriots next. Right. Please.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Drive home with Felger and Mast right now. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's the time of the season when love runs high. In this time, give it to me easy and let me try with pleasured hands.
The 10th annual Who's Your Caddy Classic happening June 21st at Brook Meadow Country Club in Canton. Foursomes on sale Tuesday, June 1st, 9 a.m. 98.5thesportshub.com. Live auction, silent auction, 50-50 raffles and more. All proceeds will benefit the Pediatric Advanced Care Team at Boston Children's Hospital.
I feel like we owe Zoe, maybe not an apology.
It's a good roll.
But a
mea culpa.
Yeah, hold on. Beatles not done.
Who's Your Caddy? Generously supported by The Long Drink, Coca-Cola Beverages Northeast, Top Shelf Cookies, Stone and Skillet, Anna's Taqueria, Boston Calling, and the Boston Bruins Foundation. Why would we need to apologize?
Maybe not apologize, but maybe say a couple of nice things to him or about him.
What about you guys?
We did give him a hard time earlier today about a variety of things.
Yeah.
But he did come through with those
hit the spot,
steak
it?
Sandwiches. He's been warming those things up in the toaster oven. He bought the rolls this morning at Stop and Shop. We just enjoyed a quickie 3-minute lunch there in the kitchen, all standing around.
Imagine if he stole my steak tips. That would have been a problem.
It was a delightful leftover steak sandwich courtesy of Scott Zolak, and I just want to say thank you, Zo.
Minor ketchup incident, though.
Yeah, couldn't locate the ketchup for a minute.
That's ketchup. It's not like the fridge is packed.
Yeah, we found it, though.
Hardy did, yeah.
It's like one of my kids looking for the ketchup. We're out of ketchup! Did you look here? The ketchup goes? Where it was?
Maybe. Maybe not. Why don't we jump back to your calls? Because we've been waiting. Pete's in Delaware. Hey, Pete.
Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Hey, Pete. Hey, Pete. Hey, buddy.
Hey. As far as Danny Ainge goes, when he made that comment about 26 years, he really stepped in it. I mean, between Marcus Smart, DeMarcus Cousins, just those two guys alone, DeMarcus Cousins was only in 2019 when the fan got suspended. And like you guys said, perception's reality. And I know Danny acknowledged that part, but I don't know what they do moving forward. Because like I Googled Danny's name this morning just a little while I was waiting. And all the articles are about this. So it's like, you know what? Again, Kyrie throws it out there, and it's like Danny stepped in it, and now it's all about Danny, not Kyrie.
No, I don't. Wait, so you think, all right, no, I disagree with that. Danny Ainge did have an issue or has stepped into an issue with saying never in 26 years.
Where's 26 years coming from, by the way?
Yeah, no, you brought that up yesterday.
As a GM and a player.
Is that combined number of years?
That's only 1995, right?
What's 95?
No, I'm not saying, he's not saying just total.
No, these years as a player. As an executive, his years as a player. Combine the years.
That's all.
Does that come out to the right number of years?
That's what I assumed. I don't know. I didn't research it.
The number was wrong, but now maybe I know why you're saying that, because you thought he was indicating he had been here since 1995.
Still been a 95 GM?
No, I think he's counting his years as a player, and then when he came back as an exec, it does check out. So that's why he said it. A sidetrack, though. So, yeah, Kyrie got exactly what he wanted. He changed the course of the conversation.
Changed the narrative.
And the narrative leading up to the games here in Boston. Yep. It is no longer about Kyrie coming back and how much of a fraud he is. It's now about race at TD Garden and dealing with racists at TD Garden and things of that nature. The DeMarcus Cousins incident was in 2019. That is correct. March of 2019 is when that happened. When a Celtics fan was banned from attending games at TD Garden after calling Cousins the N-word in a January 26th game at TD Garden. He was banned for the remainder of the season and all of the following season. Does that feel like enough? I don't know that that truly feels like enough.
It should be indefinitely.
Like, why should you ever want that guy back in your
building? You know what? He'll be good in a year.
You're not welcome here anymore.
Yeah,
he'll get all his problems out of him in a year and a half.
Say no, we don't. You know, and it's impossible
unless you're just trying to avoid like litigation of some kind. This guy could like, I don't know. It's a private place. You can't come in anymore. That's our rule. Yeah. You broke, you know, one of the few cardinal rules we have here. You're never allowed in again.
But I think the bigger thing is, so do you not talk about that at all at any point with your players? Because Marcus Smart has gone on the record prior to Danny Ainge yesterday. And it doesn't really help that Danny Ainge was out on the golf course.
That's what I was going to
really
say.
He was distracted. The interview
he's distracted trying to do a punch out. Said he was in the woods, you know, cutely trying to punch out his 5-iron.
That's wonderful.
He has his phone up. Sounds like he's
is that a good look when your team's down 0-2 and getting their absolute face kicked in against the Nets?
Well, he backed up his decision to do that. He said, we didn't have anything today. We didn't have anything till later in the afternoon. So I had to get out and walk.
Okay.
So I might as well walk 18. I don't know.
Great. I'm just telling you it doesn't look good.
Some guys need that to get away.
I'm just telling you it doesn't look good when your team is getting their ass handed to them the way they are right now. And you look like you don't belong in the NBA playoffs.
And the disparaging thing is your roster doesn't look like it could be competitive with any of these other rosters, and you're the guy that gets the people here.
I can't bring myself to feel bad for you that your answer on race relations came off as sort of flippant and in denial. Well, I'm sorry. That's sort of on you.
Everybody has their own opinion and influence, you know? It's just kind of matter of fact answer to get through the interview, I think. Just be more careful. Don't do the interview.
Push it off a day.
Yeah, I can't do it Thursday. Book the tee time. We're going to do Friday. Give you 10 minutes Friday. Yeah.
Change the day. So
we've changed anything, something pops up with their travel net. We juggle Brad.
Anything that's being thrown his way today, Danny Ainge, that's on him. That's all squarely on him. And I know that there are columns being written about him and not listening to his players or not discussing things with his players and being tone deaf and coming off as having a very casual answer on the matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, that's something he's got to deal with because that's his own decision. 617-779-0985. We go to Bob in Harvard today.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How you doing, bud?
So, I, as I told you, call screener, I was a 10-year season ticket holder up until about a year ago. Sat up in section 314. Never once heard any N-word or any explicit, you know, whatever about race up there. Now, if DeMarcus Cousins was called that word, it's deplorable. And frankly, Kyrie Irving is a fraud. He is doing this to deflect attention from himself for what he did 2 years ago. Thanks, guys.
Okay. I'm glad that over the course of 10 years, you never heard anything like
I'm
that.
I'm sure there's That's a ton good. Of people that would say, we've been to the games and never heard one iota of this.
Great.
And there's going to be people that have heard it.
Tristan Thompson has said that he experienced things as a visitor to TD Garden, but not as a Celtics player. That was just said within the last 20 minutes. Gary Washburn with a tweet 16 minutes ago. Tristan Thompson said he has heard racist comments from Celtics fans while at TD Garden when he played for the Cavaliers.
That's amazing to me. Still, in this day and age, that you could get together with a group of buddies or your girlfriend or wife and go to a game, and you could yell obscenities to that point. It's one thing to boo a team. You suck! Or this and that. Or scream that. But to take it to that offensive remark in this day and age, it's mind-boggling. And the people around there, do something, you know? That guy. You just pointed at the guy that poured the popcorn. You see that replay from the Westbrook thing the other night? The whole front row points right at you guy. You guy with the sweater wrapped around your neck. He's the guy that dumped it. He's done. And I think when it happens that these people get banned, right? You got the incident?
And by the way,
tickets been revoked. Fans been banned.
This is where what I would point back to, the same thing I point back to with Marcus Smart, which is Marcus Smart has chronicled his issues or incidents that he's had that have involved race. Yet Marcus Smart simultaneously will tell you he loves being a Celtic and he loves playing in Boston, right? So that's a good thing. There are players who know, okay, I may have experienced something here, but I've experienced that in a lot of other places, as Marcus Smart said, when he was a kid in Texas, when he was at Oklahoma State, but also that he has experienced it here. Tristan Thompson, just the other day, I just looked up his quote. This is what he said about Boston. Prior to today, saying as a visitor, yes, I did get that. He said, I remember battling against the Celtics and loving playing at the Garden because of how the fans are. It was a big reason I wanted to be a part of this team. We just need some bleeping fans in the arena. That's what I came here for. So he knows and has heard that, according to him, yet also would say, yeah, but I know that that's a place you want to play because the crowds are insane.
Yeah.
In their opinion.
And Celtics fans get after it and back their team. And Marcus probably has experienced 90-95% good. And that's why he likes it here.
Listen, hopefully. I know Tristan Thompson's on a marquee free agent or marquee trade target, but he's a player who's been around. He's a veteran and said that obviously is expressing that did not get in the way of him wanting to be a Celtic. So there is, although there are fears, as Danny Ainge expressed, the fear is that it could influence other players. There are certainly players who are not letting it influence them. Let's hear Tristan Thompson himself. We'll get to that coming up after we get to headlines and continue with your calls as well. And what kind of day did Mac Jones have at Patriots OTAs yesterday? We'll talk more about that coming up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
It's gotta be the closest thing to Woodstock.
In the middle of the day.
It's like an acidic trip.
There's always a little bit of heaven in the disaster area.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Have you heard anything racial during your time coming in as a Cavalier? That's the first question.
Why did I feel like I was going to get this question asked to me today? Yeah, of course, definitely. I mean, I think that's what makes Boston fans special and different. You know, they're very, not the racism part, but I think the part that they're very into the game, and you know, they want to be the sixth man on the court, and however they can get under our skin and taunt us, they'll try to do that. So I've definitely heard guys say some crazy stuff, but I think they just try to do that to get in the player's head, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So you know, at the end of the day, my experience personally being a Celtic, no one has said anything racial to me as a player. As a visitor, it's a different story. But, I mean, if they choose to use those kind of words to get a player's attention, that just comes from their home training and the lack of home training.
Tristan Thompson talking about his playing experience in Boston and dealing with the fans. And as he said, he loves the fans of Boston. He loves the level of engagement outside of the racist ones. But other than that, they're great. That's what his answer was. That happened just a short time ago. Those were his comments to the media. And the narrative of the game now leading up to it is not about Kyrie's return. It's about have you ever experienced racism as a player in Boston? Kyrie did that. Kyrie did that and drummed that up after he himself saying 2 years ago, and he has not played in front of a Garden crowd since, that he had never seen or heard that in Boston. Other players have, and they've told you about it, but Kyrie himself has never experienced it. That's according to him. And he brought that up, and it has completely sidetracked the conversation about this series. It's taken the focus away from Kyrie's return. It's taken the focus away from why Kyrie left, or what Kyrie didn't do well when he was here off the court, or how he completely quit on his team at the end of his tenure in Boston, and how he completely didn't give a damn and had a horrible attitude. None of that's really being discussed. And also, he will now be able to frame any negative reaction he gets at the Garden. He will be able to attribute that tonight to, well, I told you about Boston. I told you. That's what he wanted to do. He's taking pressure off himself. He's taking heat off himself. He's changing the course of the conversation.
I thought it was great the next day, Stephen A. Smith, because there's a lot of people thinking, well, you want to be that guy, and I heard Fred and Rich talking about this. You want to be that redheaded, complected guy that got sunburned and got the Larry Bird jersey on. You're screaming at front row. Now all of a sudden, work's going to see you and ESPN or Stephen A. Smith show runs the videos from that night. Stephen A. Smith the next day crushed Kyrie Irving for doing it, what he did. Crushed him for it. Because, you know, they were playing the stuff that we play here on our show from basically 15 months prior to that. I love it here. I'm going to re-sign here. I'm going to stay here. I want to be here. And any other stuff about I haven't heard that stuff. You know, it's, and then all of a sudden it turns. He knows what, he's been dodging this for a while. You know, luckily back in Christmas, right? Empty arena, like Brad told us, score table there, you know, the head scorer, mm-hmm. clock operator, and just the two teams.
I'm just confused refs. Why he's talking to the media again. I thought that was not going to happen this year, and then he's doing it again.
You need all that BS
I thought it was over. Yeah. I thought that was done with.
Can't wait till all these cameras are gone when I'm done.
Thought there would be no more conversations with the press. He was going to put out press
that's right.
Releases.
He released a statement at the beginning. Yeah. And then he laughs about it after he says it. That's the part that pissed me off. Like, now all of a sudden it's funny. That's not funny. That's not a funny topic for anybody. So, but he's with his guys. So
617-779-0985. Dan in Rockland. Hi, Dan.
How you doing? I just wanted to touch on the fact that I feel like Kyrie's just deflecting. I mean, we can find instances of racism anywhere across the U.S. if we want. I mean, it just happened in Utah just the other night.
Sure.
But he... the same way he did this with when he said he wanted to stay, like everybody, he was getting all kinds of pressure about whether or not he was going to stay. And then he said he was going to stay and he didn't. And he used that as a deflection tool till the end of the year. In reality, he really just wanted to get out of Cleveland and then just waited a year to get out of here. And he's now doing the same thing with the deflection thing by bringing up racism. And it, like you said, he laughed about it afterwards. I mean, I even find the Marcus Smart thing a little ironic too, because Marcus Smart was just put on blast by Kendrick Perkins like a week ago about how they don't want him in the locker room and they're tired of him. And now he kind of jumps on board with the Nets, almost like, hey guys, I'm here with you too. Like, it just didn't show any teamship. I'm going to hang up and listen now. Thank you guys very much.
I think you're way off mark on Marcus Smart. He got asked a question because Kyrie brought it up. He did not go into
would have never been
yesterday.
Asked about it if Kyrie didn't say what he did. There's a reason Kyrie does everything. He right. thinks before he talks. You may not agree with what he says, or you might think he's out in left field like a lot of us do. But that dude's calculated. He's smarter than you think. Create the distraction. That's what you do. Good players, great players, they have the ability to put the focus on something else. Control the narrative. That's what he's doing.
Cy in Worcester. Hi, Cy.
Hey, how's it going, guys? So just real quick. Just disagree with kind of what Smart said and Kyrie and Durant. I'm a black man from the South. I live in New England. And, I mean, it's kind of crazy to me that Kyrie, He hasn't commented on a white guy spitting at Trae Young or anything about Eric Gardner in New York City. But all of a sudden, Boston's the worst place, the worst racist place in the world. And for Kevin Garnett, like, Kevin Durant, like, there are apparently no racist people in Oklahoma City or Oak Hill Academy in the middle of Virginia where he played, I guess. And as far as Marcus Smart, like, people came to my high school flying Confederate flags. I've experienced racism. But for Marcus Smart and Tatum and these guys, it's like, listen, there's racism in every arena, all 30 arenas. Have some balls and represent your fans and represent the city. You know, like, you got 17,000 people, 18,000 people in the Garden. Are they going to be trash human beings that are racist? Absolutely, but they sound soft. You know, it's like they're not sticking up for the city, the franchise, and it's like they might as well just forfeit the game because this is just ridiculous now. Like, the whole narrative has just changed. So that's pretty much all I got to say.
I don't know what he wanted from Marcus Smart. I really don't. So Marcus Smart's not allowed to talk about it. He therefore is not sticking up for
back
the city
region, back to fan base, back to the organization.
He got asked back a basic team. Question. He answered it.
Yep. That wouldn't have been asked if Kyrie didn't say what Kyrie said.
He didn't
said.
Blow it out of proportion. He didn't speak at length about
it. First thing I said to you the next morning after the Kyrie stuff, I said the people that I feel bad for are the men of color that play on that Celtic team now that are going to have to answer questions because Kyrie brought it up and threw it in their
He
lap.
Forced it into their arena. Figuratively.
Do you think Marcus is comfortable answering that and talking about it? Like, I'm going to be honest with you.
I don't think that's what Marcus Smart cares to talk about prior to Game 3. No, I don't. I don't think that's what he was eager to get onto the topic.
It felt like he was playing hard at the end of the game to me. Might not like his threes, but at least he's trying. He'll be ready tonight. He'll be ready to go. Not saying they're going to win, but you'll get good effort from him.
Let's go to Frankie in New Hampshire. Hi, Frankie.
Hey, guys. Hey, this all boils down to Danny Ainge made a bad move bringing Kyrie here. He didn't do his homework like he should have. He was giddy because he thought he was getting one over on Cleveland. It boils down to Danny Ainge. That's tough, and he needs to own it.
I don't understand how you know that the mistake was made before getting Kyrie and not after. From the point Kyrie said he wanted to stay, what happened between that day and the day he left?
Not enough Chipotle.
What'd the Celtics do wrong? If you're working under the assumption that Kyrie knew on day one in Boston that he wasn't staying, that he was going to leave.
He'd have played another game.
Then that meant you had 2 years of Kyrie Irving. That's not the wrong move. It's 2 years of him. 2 years of Kyrie Irving or two more years of Isaiah Thomas, who, by the way, does not have nice things to say about the Celtics this week either, by the way.
About the hip injury.
Yeah. Huh. He has attacked the Celtics for saying that they should have made him better informed of his hip injury and the issues with his hip. Derek in New Hampshire. Hi, Derek.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
I haven't heard anybody talk about this yet, but, like, you know, as much as I love Marcus Smart as a player, like, he's kind of a dink off the court and, like, with some of the stuff that he does on the court, frankly. I haven't heard anybody talk about the whole incident that he had at Oklahoma State. Like, he dove into the fans and accused some dude of calling him the N-word. And then it turns out, like, there was proof that he didn't. Like, everybody had their phones out and nobody could corroborate that. He admitted to calling him a piece of crap, and, like, Marcus Smart never apologized. So it's like, I don't know how we're supposed to just trust this dude at face value.
Okay. Well, then you go ahead and call him a liar. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Derek in New Hampshire doesn't believe Marcus Smart.
Yep.
Brandon in Boston. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. So, you know, Danny Ainge, I'm glad this is happening to Danny Ainge. This is a wake-up call for him. You know, this is not Celtics blood at all. Marcus Smart has thrown the Celtics under the bus. He should have been off this team a long time ago. You know, when I look at this team, I just want to turn it off because I can't pick anybody on this team that has that Celtics blood from 2008. You look at Glenn Baby, Davis, you look at Garnett, Paul Pierce, Rondo, all those guys have that Celtics blood. If I cut anybody on this team's arm open, it's not leaking out green. It's leaking out weaselness. It's nothing but weasels on this team. And for Marcus Smart to throw the Celtics organization and the city under the bus and not sticking up for his team, he's a sellout.
Man, we got some weird calls on this today. Really weird call.
No expert on this.
Marcus Smart loves Boston, loves the city, loves the organization.
Trying to tell you an incident that
did not
disparage
the city, did not disparage the organization, did neither of those things yesterday. Not a single one of those things is true.
There's a dumb woman that said this to me, and I feel bad for her kid and how she's raising him.
He was on the record in October.
Not when today.
October. In a story on the Players Tribune chronicling incidents with race, which involved an incident, one particular that stands out for him, that happened after a game outside of TD Garden years ago. He did not revisit that incident yesterday. He just said, yep, I've heard it. Yes. So I'm not sure what exactly you wanted Marcus Smart to do yesterday. But to accuse him of being anti-Celtic or against the organization or against the city is wrong. It's stupid. It's not informed. It's ridiculous. I mean, if there's anybody that has any of the toughness of those teams, it would be Marcus Smart on this roster. I want to talk about the quarterback situation. Yesterday in Foxborough, Zoe, we keep putting that off. We'll get back to it coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
So,
not a dummy.
Beetle. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There was a drill that was going on that was interesting. The first was a garbage can drill. Okay, they put the garbage can in the back left of the end zone, and they have the guys throw to it. Well, really, Stidham and Mac Jones were probably the most accurate, and by far the least accurate was Cam Newton. There were times where he was missing by 10 and 15 feet and not getting it to the back corner. The other guys were all throwing their darts around it. Cam Newton's going to gain a lot more yards on the ground, but he can't throw like the other three, and that's already established again.
Tommy Curran, one of the many reporters who were watching from the sidelines yesterday at Patriots OTAs that got underway. Passing camp, as it has been called many times. Passing camp, which is a good chance to take a look at the quarterbacks and get an initial impression. And what I take away from all the initial impressions out there, whether it's Bob Sosi yesterday or Tommy Curran and Phil Perry and Greg Bedard, Mike Reese, the impression I get is Cam Newton is no different than he was last season.
I'm kind of shocked by all the analysis, truthfully, because I didn't think we'd get it this early. I thought it would have taken some time, and you get into July, and that's where you really got to see it. But just stark comparison right away. You could just tell, oh, he's the same guy. He didn't work on anything. And he may have put in the work.
Yeah, you don't know that he didn't work on it. I mean, that's the scary thing.
I go home and spread 10 yards of mulch, and I might miss a patch and not weed it right or not cut the right edge. It might look like crap, but I put the work in.
Same thing.
Doesn't mean it looks great. I mean, just because you're working, who's the Whitmore, right, is his throwing coach down in Atlanta. I think Whitmore is his last name. Just because you're putting in the work and meeting with a guy doesn't mean he's going to be able to fix you. If you have an issue and you had surgery on a shoulder and you can't get it back to the strength that it was 4 or 5 years ago, that's a problem. You know, you could feel better and you're going to be able to do things in life like that, but you're not going to be able to throw a football the way you were 5 years ago. This dude could gun it deep. I've seen it. Even right there, watching that bucket throw, what did I just tell you? Don't break. I said, the arc in his ball, it's like, it's so high in the air. It's almost like it's too high on the lob stuff. That drill right there, you know what that's for? To drop it in on a go route down that left side. That's Brady to Dorsett, Kansas City, AFC title game. Scotty Miller, perfect example against Green Bay right before the half. Catch, boom, bucket throw, balls up. Anticipate, arc, throw. Watch the other guys throw. It's flatter. The ball's flatter. It gets there more accurately. If I throw it up higher, guess what? It's not going to come down as accurate as the other throws when you zing the ball. You shouldn't be having any struggles at 31, 32. if you're, you know, top 15, top 16 quarterback like they want to have. And I'm being giving you some room there. You had a top five guy for a while. I'm just saying, let's just get around top 15. Because I think the bottom 15 aren't very good quarterbacks in this league. They struggle. You don't want a guy that struggles. Like I said, you're going to be able to manage some wins throughout the course of the year. You'll win games defensively. You'll play some more football. You need a guy that's going to have to carry you when you get into the playoffs a little bit at times.
Hardy, do you have any Vegas sports betting moles still?
See how much flatter Mac Jones' ball is?
Can you ask them if the Julio Jones bet has been taken off the board in Vegas?
All right.
Hearing whispers that the Julio Jones bet is off the board.
Meaning that he signed here?
Meaning that there's
an agreed upon
imminent trade. Vegas is hearing there's an imminent trade.
Oh, you'd be for any team take it off the board.
Yeah. Yeah, not that it's that's it.
Yeah.
No more bets. Because what happens is when people start to find out and they can squeeze in that bet before it's taken off the board because they might have some insider knowledge. Sometimes when it gets pulled down, maybe they're hearing something. Maybe there's a leak.
A leaky leg.
Check in on that.
All right.
Check in and see if the Julio Jones prop bet is still on the board for which team he's going to be going to, because it sort of ties into what we've talked about here with the quarterbacks today. And what we did talk about is, Fowler, put that tweet down, please. No, that is not
make
a
money, money,
that
make
is not
money,
a brown
money.
Check mark. That is a bleep stain. No mark. That is a skid is what that is. Give me a break. Let's talk more about Mac Jones's day and how Julio Jones could help the Patriots passing offense in a very significant way. It's coming up after headlines, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.